Joined this morning by Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Janet Stutz.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. How are you?
I'm good. Good. It's been a busy summer so far.
Haven't seen you for a while.
I know. I took my family on just a short little trip towards the end of June there. So it was very nice to have my children and my grandson all together. So for a week.
How nice. How yes. fun. All right. Yeah, yes. I had a whole bunch of family this weekend, but we won't go there right now.
Yeah.
So school board meeting last night.
Yes, we did. It was a very short meeting. I think it could have been a record. We're not sure. About 15 minutes.
Wow.
Really, again, a lot of routine types of things that have to be done. And what I try to do is provide the board information, upcoming information ahead of time, so they're very, very informed before they take action on items. So I like the board to see things at least three times before they'll vote on something. So they're very informed before, so it's quick. It's the best way to organize your school board meetings. So we work really closely together on getting it done.
So what is the student device policy?
So the student, that's just kind of the rules and regulations, the procedures for having a device, the responsibility for the student to have the device. You know, if it's damaged or lost, what are the costs to replace it?
We're talking laptops, right?
Yes, laptops or iPads. Okay. Students also are in a one-to-one environment for iPads too. So that policy just has certain changes that we've made regarding what is it specifically that if you break something, what happens, what's the responsibility of that. Students and parents sign off on that policy, that procedural type of paperwork when they get their device.
Right. So let's see, engineering firm contract procedures.
Yeah, so we are moving forward with Bluestone Engineering Firm. They're out of Johnson. And so what happened was, you know, we have a new architect, CMBA Architects. So the boards had sent out a request for qualifications for engineers. We call it like the RFQ for engineers for the district. We were looking for new engineers to match and have the relationships with CMBA. So what happens is we sent this out. We had several engineering firms respond to the RFQ. We narrowed it to three, and then those three engineering firms presented to the board. We had a discussion with the board, and then, you know, we narrowed it to two between the board. And the board's basically like, you know, Janet, you and Sean are going to be working with these engineers. And I said, no, Sean is going to be working mostly with the engineers and CMBA. So we did some background checks and things. So we chose Bluestone. And what's interesting is Bluestone has also done some work out of Grinnell Mutual. So it's kind of nice that they're kind of familiar with our community. So now what happens next is Bluestone will work under CMBA contract for projects. So if the bond were to pass, then that's when that contract will begin. Separately, however, because we do have HVAC issues and concerns that we are trying to problem solve and work through, that engineering firm will have a separate contract with them to help us through some of the critical issues that we have.
So this is sort of like an in-house engineering firm for whatever engineering needs
right.
to be done. Not necessarily for the building projects that may or may not happen, but for stuff that exists right now.
So, yeah, there's two separate contracts. One, if the building projects happen, then they'll work under CMBA to design and to do those things. If we have issues, we can reach out to them as an engineering firm to assist us currently now. So there's like two separate contracts that we have to work through in using Bluestone. But very excited. They're a good group of people, you know, and engineers are, you know, they're kind of straightforward and very techie. And
yep. So I know a few of them, yeah.
But it's a good group, and they have a lot of variety of not only their in-house team was impressive because of the fact that they have a technology. They understand the technology infrastructure too, as well as, you know, safety and security, things of that nature that fortunately, you know, that we're hoping down the road that we're going to be able to access.
Speaking of safety, Mm-hmm. True or false? The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
The sky is falling.
Or is it just the limestone off the roof, off the front of Davis Elementary?
Well, you know, there are a lot of issues in the district that we are trying to address and problem solve.
162 that last count I saw.
So when you... When people talk about that, it's what do you prioritize and what can you fix and try to stay ahead of? Like, we can't really be proactive and fix a lot of things because we don't have the dollars to do everything. You know, that's the reality of it. People think that we have all this, you know, money we get from the state. It's very limited on what you can do. And part of those dollars that we get also go towards busing, go towards technology, you know, in our one-to-one environment. So, and, you know, the other thing is, you know, people say, well, you can bond against the save dollars. Well, that right now sunsets in 2029. And so you don't have, you know, you're not going to be able to get much from that. So, you know, in our reserves, when we currently look at our reserve dollars, you know, there's only so much that we can do. So it's hard to be proactive and fix everything. So right now what we're trying to do is fix critical systems. For example, on the board last night, we had to buy more pumps for the HVAC at the middle school.
Jeez.
Which is, you know, again, that's money that is being used to try to just fix things so we can keep things running. Now, with that said, what I want to ensure that people understand is our maintenance department has extended the life of these systems, electrical, HVAC, any plumbing issues, or even tuck pointing and things of that around, you know, the facade of the building. They have maintained the life, you know, way beyond the expectancy, and because of their ability to, our team is just really good. So they're saving us money because we're not, we're not going out and asking for all this other help. You know, we got Sean and we have Brian now who's on our team who are working quickly to fix, you know, air conditioning units and things of that nature. The air conditioning units, for example, at Bailey Park and at Fairview are old. They all have to be replaced. They're separate window units. I mean, it's not efficient, but they're all dying. And so those all have to be replaced. And even, you know, even if a bond were to pass, it's still 2 years out before a facility would happen. We still have to ensure that our kids are in a learning environment that is productive and in a learning environment that is comfortable. And so that's kind of where we're working. So there's just a lot to work through and a lot of issues that, you know, we're just trying to limp along. We can't be proactive to fix everything because we don't have the access to the dollars to do that.
Okay. So, yes, true or false, is there limestone falling off the building? You never answered the question.
Well, we have found, you know, unfortunately, we had some kids do some graffiti over at Davis. How long ago was that now? About 3 weeks ago. And so in that process and getting up there and cleaning up the mess, which those children were caught in cleaning up the mess, there is some limestone that is breaking away at the top of Davis that we have to resolve take care of. So that's something that Sean is obviously going to be having to look into with some masonry work. You know, it's a 100-year-old building. You're going to have some of those issues.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Janet Stutz, Superintendent of Schools, Grinnell Newburgh Schools. Sale of buses, purchasing mowers. We'll talk about all that when we return. This is Let's Talk, brought to you by Mayflower Community, a place to call home.
Let's talk about Mayflower Community on Broad Street in Grinnell. Mayflower Community lets you choose the way you want to live, with options to suit individual lifestyles and income levels. Mayflower Community truly allows you to enjoy the living you've earned. There are many choices in independent living, especially affordable campus apartments. The hardest choice at Mayflower Community is where and what to eat. Whether the dining room or the bistro, there's always regular dining, and there are special meals and holiday meals with family and friends. Mayflower Community features a health center, along with assisted living and memory support living. To see all the choices Mayflower Community offers to you, take a tour of the campus on Broad Street in Grinnell. Call 641-236-6151 to explore all your living options today. Mayflower Community, a place to call home.
Back on Let's Talk with Dr. Janet Stutz, Superintendent of Schools, Grinnell Newburgh Schools. So you're going to be, what, selling old buses?
Purchasing? We sold them. So we had a bid process that goes out usually to a variety of different schools for our buses that we own. So you try to keep your bus cycle. You have lease buses, own buses, so a variety of different to keep things moving. And so we sold some of our buses, which will go back, those dollars then will go back to the lease of, you know, towards the lease of the new buses that are time to come out of, how many did we get? I can't remember how we got four new ones. So that was great. I mean, for people to be able to purchase our old used buses, that's amazing. And again, that goes back to our maintenance department and Bill, who is a great mechanic, who's retiring soon at the end of July. But we've replaced him with a new mechanic. And again, they're very proactive in keeping the systems running and our buses running. So the value of those buses were pretty good. We got a pretty good dollar for them. So it was great.
All right. Recommended changes in the school handbook?
Yes. So the high school has some recommended changes and for their handbook, and many of the recommended changes have to do with some discipline. I'm trying to click on the link so I can actually see them here. Have to do with some discipline, course selection, graduate. As far as class standings, class rank, we're not going to do that anymore. The class rank, and here's the reason why. So class rank, when you put that on a child's transcript and they're applying to certain colleges and things of that nature, and you have, for example, a group of students, you know, that are all 4.0 and above or taking AP classes. And so even though that they're all almost the same ACT score, almost the same, you know, graduate requirements, a student might be six in their class. Well, you know, that class rank sometimes might keep them out of from an Ivy League school. And so without that class rank, then you're looking at what courses they've taken and graduate credit. So students actually have a better opportunity to getting into certain universities. What we found, many school districts are going away from class rank.
Don't the colleges, though, ask that, admissions?
Not really anymore.
Really?
They really look, you know, the college application is, even for my own children, from the time my first child, who's now 30, went into college to my second, the college application even changed then. They're looking for a variety of different involvement, GPA, obviously ACT or SAT scores, well-roundedness, you know, leadership skills, other types of extracurricular activities that students have been participating in. And so I think that application has become very different now. So you don't really see, now we can still get class rank. I mean, it's still in the system, but we don't have to necessarily report it. And so a lot of schools are going away from specifically class rank. I mean, there's some, I remember back in the day where you had like 15 valedictorians, you know, because they were all 4.0 or above. And then you have AP classes that are weighted higher and things of that nature. So, the board approved we're just not going to focus on class rank. We're going to focus more on GPA, ACT.
So how did you determine a valedictorian?
Well, you still through the GPA, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's through the highest GPA, you know, that that would be recognized in that for that category or whatever.
You got anything scheduled as far as appearances to do talks about the bond issue?
I do. So next week from 4 to 5 on Wednesday, July 18th, I'll be at the Drake Library. And then on July 23rd from 4:30 to 5:30, I'll be at the Drake Library. I'll be at the SEED meeting on July 30th. So that's at 10 a.m. And then I have not looked at the August schedule yet. Some other activities that are coming up. Any venue, if somebody wants to have me come talk about specifically about the issues for the bond or any information about the bond, I'm happy to do that. They just need to call. I have a new secretary, Amber Robeson, at the district office. They just need to call our district office and get me on my calendar. So
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. And that'll do it for this edition of Let's Talk with Dr. Janet Stutz here. Brought home to you by Mayflower Community, a place to call home. KGRN Grinnell, it's 8 o'clock.
Actually up their commitment, yeah. And now we're very happy and...